Sora Kim Russell and Yong Jae translate from Korean to English. Their co-translation of Hang Seok Kyung's Matter to Ten has been longlisted for the 2024 Booker International Prize. In this episode, they spoke about the author and their experience of translating the book. Yong Jae Josephine Bae won the 2019 LTI Korea Award for Aspiring Translators and the 2021 Korea Times Literature Translation Award. She is the translator of two non-fiction titles, Imaginary Athens and A Global History of Ginseng. Sora Kim Russell has translated works by Pyeong Hae-young, Kim Eun-soo, Hwang Seok-yong, and Bae Soo-ha, among others. Her translation of Pyeong Hae-young's The Hole won the 2017 Shirley Jackson Award for Best Novel. Her translation of At Dusk by Hwang Seok-yong was longlisted for the 2018 Booker International Prize. Welcome, Sora. Welcome, Yong Jae. And congratulations on getting longlisted for translation of Matter 210.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having both of us.
This question, if possible, I need separate answers. How and why did you get into literary translation? Sora, you please go first.
Well, I'll keep my answer really brief. I started out actually doing my own writing. So I started out writing poetry and was interested in fiction and literary nonfiction. And at the same time, I was reading Korean fiction and liked what I was reading and became aware of translation as sort of another genre of writing. So the very short version of my entry into it is that I fell in love with translation as a form of writing in itself.
I was working as an English editor for a research foundation. Out of nowhere, I wanted to try a different genre of translation. And a few years before that, I applied to, so there's this competition that's hosted by the Literature Translation Institute of Korea. It's for aspiring translators. I tried that and failed once. So I remembered, and I remember that. So I went back to their website and found out that they were running an academy, translation academy for literature translators. I joined their special course, and that's how it all started.
Please tell us about the author Hwang Seok-yong and his contribution to the contemporary Korean literature.
Not easy to summarize him because he's been actively writing for so long. I think you could describe him as one of the pillars of modern Korean literature. He's, I actually don't know the total number of how many books he has written in English. Matter 210 or is actually his eighth novel in translation. And I think he might have more in French and other languages. So his contribution is significant. He's, in addition to writing fiction, he's also always been an activist. He's a very politically engaged writer who likes to write about the working class. And he's also significant in that he incorporates Korean folk traditions, not only into the subject matter, but also into the way that he writes. He's kind of pursuing like a distinctly Korean narrative voice in his work. And I think that that's, I would consider that one of his contributions to literature.
And the book that you co-translated, Matter 210, was described as a multi-generational tale. Can you please introduce the book to our listeners?
So it's essentially a family saga and it covers actually four generations, not instead of three. But the three generations stand out because there are three generations of railroad workers. So the novel goes back and forth between the past and the present. And in the present, there's the fourth generation of the Yi family. and his name is Gino. And he goes up the chimney of a power plant to protest. And in the night, he has these flashbacks about people in the past, and especially his grandmother. And the story spans over a century, from the Japanese colonial era through the liberation and up to the 21st century. So it's a story about a family struggles through one of the most trying times in the history of Korea.
In Korean, the name of the book is different. Why did you name it differently in English?
Yeah, so actually, we had nothing to do with the title change. So Matter 210 was actually the original title that Hwang chose, but his Korean publisher had him change it to the Three Generations of Rail Workers title because they thought that it would be more approachable for Korean readers. And then when the manuscript went to the English publisher Scribe, Scribe said, okay, but could we change the title? And I think before they could even start brainstorming, the author was like, yes, and here's what the title will be. So yeah, so that was the story we got when we received the manuscript. So luckily we didn't have to do a thing with the title.
See, if you have to introduce the book to a non-Korean reader, asking him to pick up the book and read, what would you say?
I think this story has a bit of everything for all kinds of readers, especially if you're interested in historical fiction. This would be right down your alley. But also there's a mixture of, if you like folk tales, if you want to know more about the Korean culture, the food, how families engage with each other. Although it's historical fiction, the themes are very much, they're connected to the present. So it has a bit of everything for any type of reader.
Sora, I gather that Yongjae was your student. How did the idea of co-translation come about?
Actually, the reason we ended up co-translating the book is that neither of us were available to do it on our own. When Hwang Seok-young's agent approached me about translating it, I was expecting my second child and didn't want to tackle a new translation, especially for a book of this length, at the same time as caring for a newborn and a toddler. I was planning to take a break from translating completely. I immediately thought of Yongjae as someone I could recommend in my place. She was in a workshop that I taught back in 2016. She's a brilliant translator, and I knew from the work she'd done that she was not only a good fit for Hwang, but was also more than ready to have her work published. I thought this could be a great opportunity to find a perfect translator for the book and help Yongjae get her foot in the door. But when I contacted Yongjae to see if I could recommend her to Hwang's agent, she was busy with other work and was reluctant to take on the book as a solo project. It would have been her first translation of a full-length novel, and given the length and complexity, it's admittedly a lot to ask of a new translator. At the same time, I'd started reading the book, and as often happens with me, I started to fall for the story and was already working out some of the solutions in my head. So Yongjae and I agreed to co-translate. We split the book in half, with me taking mostly the latter half so that I could take maternity leave before jumping back in. I still think she would have done a great job on her own, but I'm also grateful that I got to work so closely with her on this project.
In one of the conversations we had on our podcast recently, with the senior French translator Ross Schwartz, who has translated more than 100 books from French to English, who has recently co-translated a novel. I was asking her about the experience of co-translation. And she was saying, even after translating 100 books, while co-translating the book, she has learned so many new things. And she went on to say, co-translation is actually a tool for continual professional development. She used the same term. So, what has been your experience? I need the answer from both of you, please.
Okay, sure. I actually jumped at the opportunity that Sora offered because I, as I just told you, I'm a former student. This is my first book-length translation of fiction. And so I just knew that I would be able to learn a lot from the experience. That was, I think, the main motivation for me in joining the project. And when she wanted me to go solo on this project, I was terrified and told her, no, there's no way I'm going to do this solo. You have to do it with me or else I'm not doing it. So I think the advantage was that we got to discuss everything, every detail about how we would go about with the names, the nouns that do not exist in English at all, to all these communist activist terms, as the slang that we had to deal with. It's a great support system for a translator, because normally you don't have that if you're translating on your own. So we had plenty of discussions between each other and our editor, David Golding. So that was the greatest advantage.
Translating communist slang terms, because I'd forgotten until she just mentioned it, that how difficult that was, finding the right words for things. For me, one of the advantages, well, like she said, the advantage was being able to talk through things, to not feel like I was alone, not having to second guess myself at every turn, because I could turn to her and ask, you know, am I insane? Does it sound okay? One of the things for me in the process is I got really obsessed with all the familial terms. It might be something that could be challenging for readers going through, but the characters don't just go by a single name through the story. They're addressed by kinship terms, and I got really dead set on keeping as much of that texture in the book as I could, because among other things, it's part of the book takes place during the colonial era when the Korean language was being stamped out. And I felt like it was significant. At the same time, I kind of went off the deep end. And so Youngjae was so great in like pulling me back and saying, you know, like reminding me that this has to be readable, that at some point you can't completely ignore who the readers are. And so that was just huge. That was tremendous for me to be able to work on this with someone else.
Now, can you read an excerpt from the book in both Korean and in English, please?
동네 골목 입구에 나가서 가슴을 졸이며 서성이던 신금이는 비틀거리며 다가오는 아들을 보자 달려가서 부둥켜 안았다. 아이고, 이게 무슨 꼴이냐. 어디 보자. 어머니의 키만큼 자라난 이 지사는 어머니 품에 안기자 어린애처럼 엉엉 울었다고 한다. 물론 지산이는 절대로 그런 일이 없었다고 뻗대었고 200만도 손자편을 들어주었다. 아무렴 울기까지야. 분해서 헐떡거렸겠지. 진호는 국민학교 시절에 할머니 신금이에게 되물은 적이 있었다. 일제시대에는 그랬다 치고 왜 우리 식구들은 힘센 쪽에 붙지 못하고 맨날 지는 쪽에만 편들었어요? 왜 약한 쪽 편드는 게 싫으냐? 물론이죠. 너무 손해잖아요. 그러면 할머니는 감실감실 주름살 잡힌 눈을 더욱 가늘게 뜨고 웃으면서 말했다. 그때에는 지는 것처럼 보여도 결국은 약한 이들에게 이기게 되어 있다. 너무 느려서 답답하긴 했지만. 그리고 신금이는 덧붙였다. 오래 살다 보면 알 수 있단다. 서로 겉으로 내색을 안 할 뿐이지 속으론 다들 알고 있거든.
Kumi had come out to the entrance of the alleyway and was pacing back and forth with her heart in her mouth. The moment she saw her son staggering towards her, she ran to him and threw her arms around him. Haigo, what happened to you? Let me see. She later said that Chi-san, who was as tall as her by then, sobbed like a baby in her arms. Of course, Chi-san later insisted he'd done no such thing, and Pingman took his grandson's side. Sobbing? What sobbing? The boy was just panting with fury. When Gino was in primary school, he'd asked Kumi Harmony about it. I get why it was like that under the Japanese, but why does our family only ever side with the losers and never the winners? What, you don't like siding with the weaker folk? Of course not. All we do is get hurt. The wrinkles around his grandmother's eyes had grown even deeper as she smiled widely and said, It always looks like you're losing at first, but in the end, the weak are destined to win. It's just frustrating that it takes so long is all. Then she added, If you live long enough, you figure this all out. Everyone else knows it too. They just don't like to show it.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Sora, and thank you, Yongje, and wish you the very best.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, and thank you for all your patience.